My dear friends in Christ, this beautiful story given us by our Lord in the gospel today really encapsulates what real charity is. It's another one of those death blows to that Protestant idea that by faith alone we can be saved. We are told here by Christ himself in a parable that no, indeed, we cannot just say we are someone's friend. We cannot say, be thou healed and full of food and water. No, we have to do the work. And I want to talk more especially about a feast that is coming up this Tuesday, the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Now, this title or this devotion, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, follows the same pattern as the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We are told by theologians and by masters in the spiritual life that this devotion to our Lord's Sacred Heart is particularly to show us in an emblem the fire of divine love. That this is in a particular way to show us our Lord loves us with his whole heart. And in similar pattern, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. There is a story I remember. This is one that I always find particularly wonderful and edifying. I apologize if it's one that I've told before. But this was, I remember the bishop telling this story, and it was presented as a true story. This had to do with a man during one of the great wars, whether it was World War I or World War II, I don't recall, but there was this man who had fallen away from his Catholic faith, and he had moved, really trying, to escape his conscience. He moved to a distant town. I believe this was in France. And one night, the parish priest received a knock on his rectory door, and a woman stood there and told him, "Father, there's a man that needs to see you. He's too shy to ask himself, but he desperately wants a priest." And she handed him an address. And the priest said, "Okay, I'll see what I can do." And it was on the far side of town, and he would have to go really at risk of his own life to see this man because there were bombings going on, etc. But nevertheless, the priest made the dangerous journey across town. He knocked on the door of the given address, and the man opened, and he was shocked. He's like, "Well, I certainly didn't ask for a priest. I haven't been a Catholic for 10 years. But nevertheless, well, Father, it's a dangerous night outside. Why don't you come in?" And so they got to chatting, and one thing led to another, as they say, and the man felt the hardness of his heart melting. Grace really triumphed in his soul, and he eventually made a good and complete confession. And the man was completely overwhelmed with joy, and he was seeing the priest out, and he could not thank him enough. But as the priest was leaving, the man said, "But Father, there is one thing I still can't understand. No one in this town knows me. I just moved here. There certainly aren't any Catholics that know me. Who was this woman that told you I needed a priest? And the priest had to sort of shrug his shoulders. He didn't himself know who she was, but lo and behold, he saw over the man's shoulder a picture on the wall. He said, "Well, that's the woman right there. I recognize her face, plain as day. She's the woman that gave me your address." And the man turned rather pale, took a step back, said, "Father, that's impossible. That's a picture of my mother. She died 10 years ago." And both, of course, the man and the priest were shocked at the revelation and overwhelmed with gratitude that such a marvel could be allowed by Almighty God. But the a lesson that we might take from that little story is that a mother's love knows no bounds. And even for an earthly mother, that love extends beyond the grave. And how marvelous that Almighty God would allow even an earthly mother to work a miracle for love of her child. How much more our Heavenly Mother? We cannot even imagine, nor, of course, can it be described how much our Heavenly Mother loves us. And, of course, what then comes next? It's not enough for her to just say, "Oh, well, I love you. You're my children." But then what does she do? She is constant with her activity to go and work in the lives of men to make sure that there is no doubt the fire and the purity of her love for us. So many times we see since her glorious assumption into heaven, apparitions, how many times she has come to us in different guises and sometimes with different messages, but always to prove at least one thing, that she is solicitous for our care, that she is doing everything in her power to help us get to heaven. And what is marvelous? What exactly is in her power? Essentially, the power of God. We, of course, would never attribute to the Blessed Virgin Mary divine power. She is a creature. God is Almighty. He is the Creator and the sole object of our adoration. But it is His will that everything that is good, that is all grace that comes to us from Him, goes through the hands of our Blessed Mother. There are two beautiful titles that should remind us of this. First, our Blessed Mother is called the co-redemptrix. That is, that she cooperated perfectly in our redemption. So great was her union with her Son, so keen the suffering that she experienced through the passion and death of our Lord, that she is titled the co-redemptrix. It was God's will that He save the world. First, that He become incarnate. He come down onto this earth by means of our Blessed Mother, through her, in a true sense, to save the world. Another title that should fill us with awe is the Blessed Mother is the mediatrix of all grace. And that is, there is not one grace, whether it come by means of the sacraments, even receiving our Lord in Holy Communion. We know, of course, that that is a direct connection with our Lord. He comes into our body and our soul in all of his glory, body, blood, soul, and divinity. However, it is through our Blessed Mother that we can receive him worthily. Of course, by our efforts, we have to do our very best to receive Holy Communion worthily. But the graces that come to us still come through the hands of our Blessed Mother. And this is God's will. St. Louis Marie de Montfort talks about this in great detail in his book, True Devotion to Mary. As God willed to come to earth by means of the Blessed Virgin, so he wills that we come to him by means of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so, to reference again the gospel for today, our Lord shows us in this parable that it is work. It is our actions that prove love. Not he who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. It is by work that love is proved. And we see that exemplified nowhere more perfectly than in the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, my dear friends in Christ, how grateful should we be? How full of awe that we are given such a wonderful mother. But we cannot let our love and our devotion be simply in our minds. We have to then go perform works of charity, show in whatever way we possibly can that we do indeed love her. And by loving her, we show also our love for Almighty God, which is our ultimate goal, to love God with all of our minds, with our whole heart, and with our whole soul. This is the first and the greatest of all laws. So let us ask our Blessed Mother, help us fulfill that law. Follow her example. Put our words into action. Look at the Immaculate Heart. See how burning a love she has for us. Let us do all in our power to then return that love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.